All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you, church. It's been a real blessed week. I always pray that when I'm going somewhere preaching, Lord, preach to me. A double blessing is two places of the places I get to preach. My kids are grandkids are there. So I really, that's a double blessing, and just all the accommodations and the food and the lunches and the Krispy Kremes that I resisted. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, I just pray you'd bless it to your people. Lord, it's been a long week. The preaching's been great. The singing's been great. You're all I need, just like that song said, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for this message. Lord, if one could go home with something today, it'd be worth the preparations. And I just pray you bless it and use it and change someone's life with it and help me to not be a hypocrite and not live it myself. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's important before you read this verse that you get the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and why and what he's exactly saying here. The context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is trouble, persecutions, distresses, afflictions that they were facing then versus what's coming in eternal glory. And in that context, he said in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the reason I wanted to qualify that is because he's not saying walk around with your eyes closed. He's saying don't focus on that trouble. Because you focus on that trouble too long, that trouble will get bigger than your God. But he said, we don't look at the things which are seen, we look at the things which are not seen. How do I see the unseen? Let alone look at them. You understand, look implies to focus in, to zero. And David saw a woman and looked upon her. You know the difference. Paul told Corinth, don't look at the problems, don't focus on the problems, don't gaze at the problems. Look on and focus on and gaze on the eternal things of God. I want to be super practical tonight. I couldn't be anything else if I tried. With something so simple that if you apply, it can potentially have enormous results for your life. And your family's life and your marriage and your church and maybe your nation tonight. I'll make a disclaimer first. I've not apprehended everything I'm talking about, but I'm thankful that I serve a God who, in spite of my lack of perfection, blesses direction. Amen? I don't understand all of what I'm going to talk about tonight, and I may be off on some of it, and the theologians will straighten you out on that, but there's enough in there that if some of it is right, we do well to make application. So buckle your seat and hang on. We are commanded to look at the unseen. And here's what I believe God does in His mercy. He gives us things that we can see, so to make it easy on us. He said, you just got to have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed. So He gives us things that we can see, that makes a connection to the unseen, so it requires some faith, because it's not seen. Faith is something hoped for, everything's not seen. So it requires some things that it would have enough faith to please Him, but it really doesn't take much to see the unseen. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Help with seeing the unseen. Point number one, you're not going to believe how deep this is. Psalm 5, Psalm 121, Psalm 123. Psalm 5. Help you to see the unseen tonight. Stay with me. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. We got that, right? That's prayer, right? Did you pray this morning? O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee. We're okay with that. Psalm 5, verse 3. Say the next four words. And will look up. Psalm 121. Verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. The hills are a physical thing. From whence cometh my help? That's a spiritual thing. I'm looking at something physical to help me see something spiritual. I'm looking up. I'm not seeing a spiritual being when I look up, but nevertheless, the man after God's own heart looked up. Psalm 123. Verse 1, unto Thee lift I up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens. Point number 1, you want help seeing the unseen? Look up at creation when you pray. Let me say this, this is not a mandate for how to pray. Just example of a pretty praying man and what he said in a few places. Who penned a lot of Psalms, David we're talking about, who walked with God, who warred for God, and has a pretty hefty position in the future with God, he said, I will look up when I pray. Now, if you are a closet prayer, and you have fire in that closet, and you sense that when you're in that closet and you're praying, you're calling unto Him and He's answering you with mighty things, great and mighty things, which you don't want to know, which you don't know. I say, stay right in that closet. But if perhaps you have a problem seeing that which is unseen in that closet, I mean, you might see those too many shoes your wife has, and you need some help with the closet. You need some help with the quiet time. You need some help in the morning. You need some help when you're drowsy. You need some help with distraction. Then by all means, this is deep, get out the house. Without your phone. Look, if you can't handle that, just think how exciting it'll be when you get back and there's all those new messages. David, why are you looking up? Romans chapter 1. I'm just trying to help you if you're having trouble seeing the unseen. Watch this, verse 20. You know these verses, but we gotta see it. I want to see the unseen, right? Unseen is invisible, right? But I'm commanding, he says, we don't look at the things which are seen, we look at things not seen. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, that's unseen, right? From the creation of the world, that's seen, right? That's heavens, that's clouds, that's mountains, that's trees, that's animals, that's dirt, that's insects, that's sun, that's moon, that's tomato plants. Are, watch it, not just seen, but clearly seen. I just fulfilled 2 Corinthians 4. By looking at the creation, I can see clearly what I was commanded to see, the things that I can't see. And I don't just clearly see them. I understand it. He said, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So that the heathen, it says here, are without excuse. But that's not just for the heathen. David wasn't a heathen. It's so the heathen are without excuse that there's a Creator, but it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. It's not just for heathens to believe in His creation. It's for believers to trust in His power because He is Creator. Get out. If you're having trouble, and look up at the creation and clearly see Him who was invisible. But let me, I'm not talking about pantheism. I'm not talking about worshiping clouds and birds and trees. You understand? But David said, I'll look up. You can't look up when you're stuck in a phone all day. And preachers and missionaries and men of God and dad, I'll say this, you can't look up when you're in an office all day. Preacher, what about what Jesus said in the, being in the closet? Let's get our context now. Who is He talking to? He's talking about Pharisaical prayers that pray on corners to be seen of men. If you want to get specific, we have no biblical record of Jesus ever praying in a closet, but He certainly did pray outdoors. And He certainly did look up to heaven in Matthew chapter 14 and blessed. And He certainly did look up to heaven and sighed in Mark chapter 7. And He certain to, those Baptists we argue, is the Lord's Prayer is not the Lord's Prayer like the Catholic. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And we're doing everything but praying like Jesus. Because you know what that great prayer in the Bible starts with? These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes unto heaven. And we wonder why those apostles looked and said, Lord, teach us to pray. You want some help seeing the unseen? Preacher, my prayer life is dry as cracker juice. Try it. 5 minutes before you leave. You're in Florida. It's nice out all the time. Ask me to show you my February video. I call it Winter Warfare. Get out on your deck with a cup of Starbucks. But the Holy Ghost don't give you the caffeine will, amen? Get out in the woods. Get out in the park. And consider how powerful God is. You know what we got today? We got an inside generation today. And that's why we're anemic. They're not hunting anymore. They're not hiking anymore. They're not fishing anymore. They're not gardening anymore. You know what? You know what all this stuff has got us? Well, this is bad and it connects us here. I'll tell you what the worst thing it's done. It's stuck us inside. I got on that airplane. Listen, you used to get on an airplane and people, I want the window seat. And they would be awestruck and marvel at the... It's something about looking out that window. You can't get anyone to lift their head up off of that screen. Amen. We're stuck on vanity. When God said, if you'll look at the creation, you will see the unseen. I'm not talking about this being a nicety. This is a necessity for survival. What? Seeing the unseen. Especially for you young couples. David got in trouble in the office. When he was out there, he was slaying giants. You need help looking at the seeing the scene? Get out of the house and look up and do it one day and come back and tell me if it wasn't better. You want to see the unseen? Look up at the creation when you pray. It's not a mandate. If you're calling down fire from heaven, keep calling. I'm just saying. Number two, and this will be my last point. Look into, but it'll be long. The Bible when you pray, when you read. Notice I didn't say look at the Bible. Notice I didn't say see the Bible. Because for all too many, especially when we're competing with the electronic age, quiet time is nothing more than seeing words on a page rather than seeking the face of a person. And we check a box and we go our way and we've done our duty. and there's no delight. I want to look into the Bible tonight and see what happens in the unseen when we pray. Because that's what he said, to look at the things which seem. Well, one thing we could look at is creation and see, and another place we can look is in the canon, to see what's going on in the unseen. And my goal is to get someone motivated to respond to what happens. You get more excited than a video game if you get this. You think of video kid stuff. It is kid stuff, but 40-year-olds are addicted to it. When Satan fell, a war started between God and his forces, Satan's forces. God has unseen forces. Satan has unseen forces. And what goes on in this battle between these forces, and we're going to look at some of them, manifests itself here. Have you ever stopped to wonder why God allows all this battle in this unseen? We'll look at some of them. And when he could just squish everybody in an instant, when he could just get it over with, we get saved and he engages us in this battle. Get Ephesians 6, because I want your eyes to see it. Ephesians 6. You're very familiar with it. But I wonder if you applied it today. Because let me make my point now in case you go to sleep. When we wrestle here with who we're going to look at right now that we're wrestling with, it's spiritual, it's not carnal. I wish it was. I wish you could do it in 45 or 8K47. I wish it was that easy. It's not. It's way more difficult. That's why there's such a war. It's easy to come to church. It's easy to read your Bible and check. Why is it that what we're going to talk about tonight, there's war to keep you from this? What you do here impacts a battle that goes on up there, and what happens between those forces up there is manifested in what goes on down here, and that, frankly, is why we are a mess. And I don't mean we necessarily personally, but where it's, well, this church, they're having 100,000 Easter egg hunt, and these guys over here, they're dancing and they're making their church into a bar, and this political party, they're doing this. Man, I live in New York, I know. For we wrestle, verse 12. We wrestle not against, here's one of those knots again, flesh and blood, but against principalities. I think principalities over municipalities. I'm going to show you that in Daniel in a minute. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's not Hillary. That's something beyond Hillary. Against spiritual wickedness and high places. But why? I don't want to be irreverent, but I got this thought. A lot of reasons why. You know, we have to, love has to be reciprocated to God. We have to have a choice. So, you know, man fell, so God used that and Satan to give us a choice to prove our life. I understand all that. But you know what I think? I think God just likes to watch a good fight. In the spiritual realm, he likes to see his team win the way we like to see our team win in the physical realm. Now, I wonder what he sees when he comes past your channel. You know, you come through a channel, it's football Sunday, and you come across, and here's, you know, New England 42. I was going to say the Bills, but I don't want to swallow my pride that hard. The Browns 3. Well, I'm not going to watch that game. But boy, you get one that's close. You get one where there's a close battle. Or better yet, you're watching your kid wrestle on the physical wrestling mat. Or your kid shoot the three-pointers. I watched those old men when we used to, I didn't wrestle, I played football, but I'd go to those wrestling matches and I'd see that boy on the mat and that father's on that bleacher going like this. Why does he say fight the good fight? War, a good warfare. I think he enjoys, I'm going to show you some Bible. I think he enjoys just seeing his children win. Let me tell you about Mike Mooney. He wasn't a cult member. He was one of my friends when I was a little kid. It was me, the Christopher brothers, they were twins, and Mike Mooney. I was a little fat Italian kid back then. And Mike Mooney was a bully. And even though he was our friend, he was kind of taller and lanky, and we were petrified of him. He had a temper. He would go crazy. And so even though he lived right there and we were all together, we would try to avoid Mike Mooney. I remember one time he told me, "Get down in that snow!" Okay? And I just feared and I cowered with Mike Mooney. Well, one time we were going to play street hockey up at the Catholic school up there, and we went the back way so Mike Mooney wouldn't know. Because we didn't want Mike Mooney, because he'd hit you with a stick. He was a nut. So we lived on Charlie Avenue, and then you got Runoff Drive, and at the end of Runoff Drive is the Catholic school there where we're playing, and we're walking back, and we're all done playing, and who's at the end of my driveway facing Runoff Drive? Mike Mooney. Well, here's, I think it's whatever, Lauren Drive or something. My buddy says, "See ya." And he's waiting. And I got up there, little fat Italian boy. And he said, "Where were you?" Now we're walking up the driveway. We have a long driveway. And he says, "Where were you?" I said, "We went to play street hockey." "Why didn't you tell me?" Well, about that time, we're getting to where our breakfast, our dinner table window is. And I know my dad is in that window. And I know my mom is in that window. And suddenly, after years of torment, knowing Dad was watching, I was emboldened. Didn't realize till later, my mom said, "Stop him! Stop him!" And I took one Joel down here from Mississippi. And he... Man, there was blood. There was snot. We were rolling in the mud. I was beating on him. And that's when Mom said, "Stop him, Pat! Stop him!" He said, "Let him fight!" Oh, Mike never bothered me again. You know what Mom tried to do? Stop the fight! You know what Satan's going to do? He's going to war. Stop fighting! Don't wrestle! Don't do what we're talking about tonight. It's too crucial. I want to show you one verse to set up another verse. Get 2 Kings chapter 6. Ain't we having fun? Woo! What else are you going to do on a Thursday night? If it ain't right, just go back and say, "That guy was a nut, man. What are you having him in here for?" If not, try it. 2 Kings chapter 6. Here's what's happened. You got a physical battle getting ready to happen. You got good guys and you got bad guys. As usual, the good guys are outmanned. Just like we in the flesh here are outmanned. Not many mighty, we are outmanned. They got more than us. You know the verse, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and had gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city." Those are physical armies. "With horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, 'Alas, master! Michael Mooney, what shall we do? Michael's waiting at the end of the driveway and I'm doomed.' And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more that be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.'" Now, I want to ask you a question. Did that change sometime? Is there no longer a host? Hebrews 13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Set in my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" You know, Balaam ran into, he said that this donkey saw what we're not seeing. And he said, "I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. Go to Judges chapter 5. This is wild. Judges chapter 5. They get in a battle. Deborah and Barak start doing the Watusi, praising the Lord. And they start recounting what happened in the battle. Verse 19, the kings came and fought. Judges 5:19. The kings came and fought. They fought, then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. Watch, watch. They fought from heaven. They didn't have an air force back then. Watch it. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Are you telling me that something in the unseen is fighting with something in the seen? Yes, that's exactly what happens. When we wrestle, we are in this bodies of clay. We wrestle, but not with flesh and blood, but with principality. We transcend the physical into the spiritual. And the way we wrestle in the physical is by prayer. And that impacts that battle that goes on up there. And who is empowered in that battle up there, in turn, is what is manifested down here. In Revelation, I just caught it back there. Here's Jesus. He's in the midst of these candlesticks. And those candlesticks are churches. And he's saying, I'm holding these seven stars, and these stars are angels of these churches. John says at the beginning of Revelation, John to the churches. But when Jesus starts naming the church, he says, write to the angel of the church. What is it? Is it up there? Is it down here? Yes. I don't want to get charismatic or creepy, but I'm not going to walk away from truth because they make stuff nutty. Prayer isn't Santa Claus sitting on a throne. Well, I don't know. I know you really want it, but you need to build some character. Yes, no, maybe. Hang on. I'm telling you, I think because God enjoys a battle, that prayer sets in motion a battle. And what we put in is what comes out. I'll show you that. 1 Kings 22, this is amazing. You can see it happening. You could see now what I'm talking about. So I think the Lord likes a good fight. And this is why. Mainly because of this verse. Because God could just squish everything and just do everything, but He doesn't. He likes to watch the game. Don't you like to watch the game? He likes to watch the battle. Don't you like to watch the battle? He likes to see the fight. You know, I know a lot of that stuff is our carnality, but I wonder if part of it isn't a communicable attribute of God. 1 Kings 22... 15. 1 Kings 22:15 is another battle going on here. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills. Watch, watch. You're getting a vision now. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, physical, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Watch it. Now he's going to transcend. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts, those are the fighters, of heaven standing by him on his right hand on the left. And the Lord said, the Lord said, you got all this host sitting around, the Lord's on the throne like Brother Tim over here. And he said, I'm going to deliver him. And he starts looking at this host in heaven. And he says, who's going to deliver him?
Watch. Who shall persuade Ahab that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. This host, these beings are talking. I don't know, you want to do it? What do you think? You think we should do it? And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. This is what is going on. It's not just your relationships, and it's not just so-and-so left the church, and it's not just your kid went to the world. It's spiritual! And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? Wherewith? He's omniscient. And he's asking a host in heaven, how are you going to do it? I'm telling you, he likes a fight. Are you in the fight? Does he like watching your game? Does he say, hey, watch this guy? And the Lord said to him, wherewith? And he said, I got an idea. I'll go forth, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Also, go forth and do. Now therefore, behold, the Lord put a lying spirit in the mouth of all thy prophets. We must see the unseen, and we see it in the Bible. And if this doesn't motivate us to not walk by that closet door, to not hit that snooze alarm, to engage in the battle, I'm not sure anything will. Daniel 10. What happens when we pray? Seems like nothing happens when I pray. Listen. You know what Daniel wants? You know what he's praying about? Not for his hangnails. Now listen, if I get a hangnail, I'll be first on the top of the prayer list. Pray for me, everybody. I don't like pain. He wants truth. What is this, Lord? What is this vision? What is these world powers? What's going on? He's fasting to get truth. He's praying for 21 days and not eating bread or water. He wants truth. And you know what you're going to see in a minute? You're going to see the forces of evil withstanding. Don't give him truth. That's where the battle is. So you think it's just some haughty, educated Bible scholar, theologian, knucklehead that wants to corrupt the Word of God and give us all these new versions. It's spiritual. Don't let that. Why would a principality care who's going to be the next? I don't know why, but I'm telling you this. Daniel's fighting for it. Let's look at it. Daniel. Chapter 10. Just to set the stage, verse 3. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which was Hiddekel. I lifted up my eyes, like he opened up his window. That's why they were to hang him when he got thrown to lions. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. We won't argue about who this is, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms, his feet, the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Now, I want you to notice what happens. Verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand. I want truth. And to chasten thyself, there's the fasting before God, thy words were heard from the first day. Oh, let's go back to our other scene with our little powwow up there in heaven. Hey, that guy's praying a prayer. Go answer that prayer. Watch. But the prince, this is a spiritual being from heaven, of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. That's not a physical prince. That's a principality.
watch it, this is important, withstood me 1 and 20 days. They are fighting in a spiritual realm that we cannot see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 19, 20. What if Daniel would have said, "Ah, forget it. My wayward son's never coming home. I'm sick of wasting my breath." Ah, forget it. I'm done praying for these missionaries. They're all coming home anyways. You ever think because you stop praying? All Daniel's doing, he's not doing anything physical outside of on his knees, looking up, praying to God, afflicting his soul, and something stops and says, "You're not going to answer this prayer." And on the 24th, I think, day, "Michael, go help him." A prayer set in motion, a battle in the unseen kingdom. And I believe, brethren, with all my heart, these are the same things that we wrestle with, and we are losing the battle. It's not politics. It's not the liberals. Maybe it's Christians that aren't wrestling. There is a parallel battle between the seen and the unseen, and prayer engages us in this battle, and we get to be part of a big game. A big battle. Let that be your motivation. You are not wasting your breath. You are not wasting your time. You may be saving your nation. Listen to this, John 10:10. The thief, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. As far as I know, you theologians could straighten me out, but not now. You never saw Satan murder anybody. It said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." I didn't see Satan steal anything. And we're not going to go to Job, but Job is where you see what Satan really has the power to do. You've got God, a spiritual being, who has put a hedge around a physical man. You have Satan, a spiritual being, coming up before him and saying, "Hey, let me at that guy." And it's because the only reason that he's doing good is because you put a hedge about him. And so God says, "Okay, I'll take the hedge off of this physical man and you can go at him." Well, Satan never takes the dukes to him, never takes the boots to him. You know what he does? He taps the Sabaeans. And they go and kill everybody. And we say, terrorism is on the rise. Maybe prayer is on the fall. The whirlwind came, and I'm not getting charismatic, honest. There's enough for me to say, "Wow, I need to get on my knees." Is California just burning and on fire because the climate's changing? Or are we so far from God? Are the forces of good strapped? God can do whatever He wants, but He likes a fight. But we're not fighting. Joel quoted the verse, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones." I'm just throwing this out. You theologians, when you're reading your Bible, you say, "Lord, show me." Despise not one of these little ones. I'm talking about a parallel between the seen and the unseen. "For I say unto you that their angels..." You believe in guardian angels? I believe in their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. Don't mess with them because they got angels up there. Just like churches got angels up there and candlesticks up there and there's stars up there and the stars are this. And child molesting is on the rise. Oh, these kids are bad. Bad! Our kids are bad. Is it all just the liberal ideology that's making them bad? Or are the ones that behold the face of the Father somewhat strapped because that's the way God made this thing to happen? Just saying. We see a school shooting. Mental health! Take the guns! Let me give you some Bible. Don't turn there. 1 Chronicles 21. And Satan, spiritual, stood up against Israel, physical, and provoked David. Now, if they said provoke Joe, I could see it. The guy up the street, I provoked David to number Israel. That's scary that he would be able to, with the man after God's own heart. You say that's Old Testament. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Well, what's he going to do? He's not going to cross dimensions into the physical realm and lock him up with shackles, but he's going to do something. And to sift you as wheat. And then Jesus said, so I'm going to have a counseling session with you. And we're going to learn of the seven strengths. No, he said, but I prayed for thee. Did pretty good on that day of Pentecost, didn't he? I wonder if we prayed as much as we counseled. I wonder if we prayed as much as we preached. If something wouldn't happen in the... I'm just talking about desperation. Wherefore we would have come unto you, New Testament, just in case, Pauline epistles, you know, even where the hyper dividers, they even like these, this passage. Even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Ananias and Sapphira, why has Satan filled your heart? You see why we got to get to wrestling, folks? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Listen, when you consider our government, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks, and complaining constantly, listening to lost men rail on their government all day long. Doesn't say that, does it? For kings, for all that are in authority. I don't like praying for people that I hate and that hate me. I know you don't hate Hillary. I know you don't hate Chuck Schumer. I know you, yeah, because you ain't from New York. And they're saying that if you don't believe in same-sex marriage and you're pro-gun and you're pro-life, we don't want you here. I said, Lord, give me a ticket to Florida. Our problem is not war between the political parties. It's war between the seen and the unseen and the forces of good and the forces of evil. And the way we get in the battle is to wrestle. And it's going to take time and we don't have any. Because we're stuck on Facebook. I'm not preaching against Facebook. I'm preaching for wrestling. Young people, it's going to be your children that may be impacted. Let me encourage you. We have the advantage in the battle. Do you know how many angels there are? I do. An innumerable company. There's so many that you can't number them. But the smart people that know the Bible say, with Satan, a third of them fell. That's bad. But the good news is, two-thirds didn't. Pretty good two-thirds against a third. Unless those two-thirds are only enabled when we wrestle. Then it doesn't take so many on the other side. And we think it's just, oh, the churches are all just going liberal. These are the stars of the seven churches, and the stars fought in their courses against Sisera. Ephesians chapter 1. We're finishing up here. We weren't even at Krispy Kreme last night at this time. Pretty heavy, isn't it? Pretty sobering, isn't it? I'm going to say this in case I forget it. Who's got a wayward sister? Raise your hand. You better want to, okay. What would you do if you drove down that road tonight and I don't know what she's going through, but maybe where she shouldn't be, and you saw somebody beating on your sister? I bet you they'd be in big trouble. I pity the person that comes in this room to hurt our women and children. But do we wrestle for them? See, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It'd be easy to pull out a .45 and go knock some guy's brains in. But this is what the real battle is about. My sister. My mother. My jail's world. You must see you are fighting for your children and your grandchildren and your sons and your daughters and your nation. But it takes time and it takes faith, and you have to see the unseen, and that's why all hell will war against you to stop it. We're in Ephesians 1:17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places. Now look at, I told you we have the advantage, right? We've got 2/3 to 1/3. Look where He is. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, rules of darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places. Look where He is. Far above. He's on top of the tower. We're in the yard. Satan's up there, we're down here. But the one that I'm beseeching is above Him. Hallelujah. He's far, He's not just above, He's far above all and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. You know, I think it's good looking at the creation. Because when I get to looking at the politics, I'll just tell you this. You know what I did? I get so aggravated. I had to quit. We have a sanctification month. We kind of shut down our ministries, everything, January. We just don't do nothing. I said, Lord, by You, because I like to listen to Rush Limbaugh and Savage and just get aggravated and hate everybody. It really helps me to love my enemies. You might as well shoot yourself in the spirit. I said, Lord, I'm not listening to nothing for 30 days. Amen. Martin Luther, listen, 30 days it's been. Listen, that was January 1st. Now, when that 30 days was up, in fact, it was about 40 days, I look at a little Fox News here and there. I ain't listened to one Rush Limbaugh, one Hannity. You know, all I'll say is this. Martin Luther King had no idea when he said, free at last, free at last. Good God Almighty, I'm free at last. Because I could look out at that creation and say, see, you listen to that stuff all day, you're doomed, man. They're going to come and close your church and take your kids away and rape your children and kill your pastor. You're sunk. What did you ever create, Satan? Nothing. God is bigger than you. He cast you out once. He's going to cast you out again. And I feel like I'm like my dad's looking through that window again with Mike Mooney. You know what I think Revelation is? I think it's just pulling back the curtain. Call it what you want. Great, deep, canopy, whatever. Of what's been going on all along. Ours is to see it now, that we might engage in the battle. And I think God enjoys watching it. I pity the nation that makes a preemptive strike on America, because we can fight. We're talking about our children. our grandchildren and their nation. I wonder, would you surrender to the mission field tonight? You say, Preacher, Ecuador, that'd be too easy compared to what we're talking about. I'm talking about right where you live. Would you start with saying, God, help me to see the unseen? You've got a deck in your backyard where you can see the invisible. You've got a park at lunchtime in your workplace. Instead of playing euchre in the break room, run down to that park for 30 minutes and just say, oh God, we are in trouble. Help! For the godly man ceases. You say, I don't know how to pray. Pray the Psalms. You can't lose till you get to going. You pray till you pray, see. I'm not apprehended. Or you can be satisfied just feeling good, complaining about the liberal government and the liberal churches and the wayward kids and the broken families while our ship sinks. No wonder that the Bible says, pray for all men. Pray always. Pray everywhere. Pray without ceasing. It's war. Honey, I'm going out in the woods. Oh, you going hunting again? No, I'm going to war. Babe, I'm going down to the altar. Oh, you going to pray? No, I'm going to war. That's what we have to see. I'll end with this. I've heard sensational preaching all my life, man. Saved in 1986, and I heard some big guns and big messages, and I always used to hear this one that they'd say what could possibly happen at the judgment seat of Christ, you know, when He manifests our works, whether they be good, evil, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. And sometimes they say, He's going to put a big screen up there and play it back. Now, I don't know about that. I probably doubt that. But I'll tell you what, it scared me enough to try to stay right just in case. It's one thing God knowing about me. It's another thing all you seeing it. But I'll just throw my little thing out. What if for the first million years in heaven, we said the Lord likes a fight. What if for the first million years in heaven, we watched war films? Like we see in the book of Revelation, all that stuff going on, the Lord saying, hey guys, you know, you thought your daughter left home and this happened over there, but you guys were praying. Let me fold back the curtain and open up the thing and get the thing rolling. And let me show you what was happening in the unseen kingdom. You mean when I was...
Oh, God, get hold of my son.
1 in 20 days. Victory! And you thought it was all physical and all circumstances. When your son was in that bar or your daughter was in that bar and you were at war. And as you warred, He shows you the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. Anybody not know that Joel happened to be out in the world and I got permission for this testimony for 7 years? He grew up in a phenomenal Christian home. Godly mother, godly father, Christians going back, heritage. 7 years he was out there. He would come home at night and hear his brother groaning on his knees. His brother Brent that you heard preach last night. He had a praying mother. One night he was in a bar. And here's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing his mother praying, his brother groaning, his dad crying out to God, and all the while these principalities and... See, we just think Joel's hanging out in the bars, he's wayward, blah, blah, blah. You know what brought him back? He got his face busted open. You know what I think? I think The good forces knew what he needed to bring him back. And I think that prayer was setting that in motion. But I think there was all hell breaking loose to fight against that. And you know what happened that night? He got his mouth busted. His buddies taking him to the hospital. And he said this, "I'm going back to God." And his buddy said, "You're going back to God? What?" He goes, "You didn't get your mouth busted." And he walked in that house and they picked up singing right where they left off. Don't get out of the battle. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And our heritage and our children and our marriages and our churches may hang in the balance of the people in this room and what we do with this, Pastor.